We're starting here at the top of Yud Amud Aleph. We'll just start back a little bit on the bottom of Ted Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. We had a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to a Petar Chamor, whether it's a Sur B'Hana'ah or not. Rabbi Yehuda believes that Petar Chamor is a Sur B'Hana'ah. Shimon believes Petar Chamor is Mutar B'Hana'ah. Then we had a statement from Rabbah, who says, even Rabbi Shimon, who says that a Petar Chamor is Mutar B'Hana'ah, after the Arifah of the Petar Chamor, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's Asur B'Hana'ah. The reason being that he learns it out of Egla Arufa. Arufa, Arufa, because there is Shava from Egla Arufa, just like Egla Arufa is Asur after the Arifa. So too, over here, it's Asur after the Arifa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. He brings a proof from the Braita. The Braita says that there are certain Ochlim that are Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, even though they are Isurei Hana'ah. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and Rabbi Shimon says, any ochel that cannot be eaten by anybody, I mean, there's no eaters of it because it's Asur B'Hana'ah, cannot be Mekabel Tumat Ochlim. In that list, there is Egla Rufa, Kilay Kerem, all these other Isurei Hana'ah, and included in it is Petar Chamor. So you see from here that Rabbi Shimon believes there is a time when Petar Chamor is Isurei Hana'ah. So from that, Rabbah wanted to prove the fact that Rabbi Shimon holds, even though it's Mutar B'Hana'ah in its lifetime, after the Arifah, it's Asur B'Hana'ah. The Braita noted one exception to that rule, and that was Basar B'Chalav. That even though Basar B'Chalav is Asur B'Hana'ah, nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says it is Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, because it had a Shatav Kosher. At one point, it was milk and meat. So they were Ochlim before they became Basar B'Chalav. So based on that, Rabbi Shimon wants to say that that is Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, even though it is Asur B'Hana'ah. So that's the background of what we're going to do. The Gemara, as we mentioned yesterday, is now going to deal with that issue of Basar B'Chalav, because Rabbi Shimon, the Shitato, says that Basar B'Chalav is not Asur B'Hana'ah. So why did he have to come to this din of Vishata Kosher? He could have just said that it's not Asur B'Hana'ah. That's what the Gemara is going to deal with today. So we'll just start now up from the last couple lines here on Ten Amud Bet. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's Shita that there is no Tumat Ochlim by these items? Only things that can be eaten by others or that can be consumed by someone is considered to be Ochel. But Ochel, Shiyata Yochol Achil Acherim, Inu Karoy Ochel. That which you can't feed to anyone can't be food. Food has to be consumed by human beings, or it's consumed by somebody or something. If it's Asur B'Hana'ah, nobody consumes it, therefore it's not considered to be Ochel. I says, Yochi, Basar B'Chalav, Mariria, Dehaita L'Shata Kosher. Why is it that Basar B'Chalav, we're worried about the Shata Kosher, and that's not the only reason that Rabbi Shimon could have been Matir? Typically, let's say that it's food that can be eaten by others. Ditanya, we have a Braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishim, Rabbi Shimon, Basar B'Chalav, Asur B'Achila, Umutar B'Hana'ah. Shimon believes that Basar B'Chalav is Asur to be eaten, but not Asur B'Hana'ah. If it's not Asur B'Hana'ah, then you could give it to a goy, you could give it to animals to eat, it wouldn't be a problem, and that would be Ochel. If it's Ochel, then that's why it's Mekabel Tumat Ochlim. What's this whole business about Shatav Kosher? Shinemar, what's his proof? Ki Am Kadosh Atah Hashem Lokecha. And the Halan Omer v'Anshei Kodesh to Yun Li Kodesh Gunoto, that even though you are restricted from consuming the velot, you can give it to the Kelev. By Basar V'Chalav, it says Ki Am Kadosh Atah Hashem Lokecha by the Isurei Achila there. So he says, well, just like Anshei Kodesh over here means Isur Achila, but Mutar B'Hana'ah, so too the Am Kadosh over there is going to mean Isur Achila, Mutar B'Hana'ah. And that means that Basar B'Chalav, just like Nevela, will have an Isur Achila, but not have an Isur Hana'ah. Just like there, Gavkan, Asur B'Achila, Mutar B'Hana'ah. Gemara says, Chado V'Od Kamar. He's giving two reasons. He says, Chado, number one, it's Ochel, and it's Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, the Ochel Shata Yochol Achila Acharimu. Because it is something you can feed others. V'od. And above and beyond that, Lididei Nami, Re'aitalo Shata Kosher. Even for a Jew, it is Ochel. It's classified as Ochel. Because it had a Shata Kosher. Meaning that the Basar and Chalav independently were once Ochel. And therefore, they are Mekabel Tumah even for relative to the Israel himself. Not just in relationship to the Goy who can eat it. Because I think it's Mutar V'Hana'ah. Gemara says, Vimita, this goes back to the proof that Rabbi was bringing from there. Vimita, if you think that Rabbi Shimon believes the heter hana'a be peter chamor applies not only while it's alive, but even after it's dead. Delacha refa shari Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that even after ifat peter chamor, it's mutar hana'a. Litnei, let him include it in the exceptions in the Braita. The Braita, the only exception he has in the Braita is basar b'chalav. You should have written in the Braita umolde Rabbi Shimon be peter chamor ubasar b'chalav shemetamim tumat ochlim. That they both should have been exceptions, not just basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav would have been an exception because of what we discussed, either because it's mutar b'ana or it has a shato kosher, and on top of that, it should have said peter chamor. The fact that peter chamor is not accepted from the list, that shows you that he believes peter chamor really is asur b'ana. Where it says idu choshiv alei, if he was machshivet hachanami, you would have been right. Achumai skina, and here we're dealing with the case delo choshiv alei. He had no makshava on it. Tumat Ochlim is very similar to Muksa. Muksa applies to certain objects as their default status. They are inherently Muksa, unless you have a makshava, unless you actively think that you're going to use them on Shabbat, or you take them out of their status of Muksa. On the other hand, there are certain objects that are automatically not Muksa. They are considered to be usable on Shabbat, unless you are mikatza them in adat, unless you push them out of your mind. So for instance, rocks outside. Rocks outside, by design, by default, are muksa on Shabbat. If you have in mind to use one of these rocks, you designate it as a doorstop, then you take it out of that status of muksa and you make it usable on Shabbat. They had ochel. When you deal with foods on Shabbat, the default status for foods on Shabbat is that they are not muksa because you plan on eating them and you can't eat them on Shabbat. If you are mikatza them, you put them out to dry on the roof. You do something with them that takes them out of the realm of immediate achila, that's mikatza them. So you have the same thing when it comes to tumat ochlim or ochel itself. Ochel itself, there's certain items that the default status of the item is that it's ochel. On the other hand, there are other items where the default status of the item is that it's not ochel, and you have to specifically be machshivit in order for it to be ochel. So that's what Gemara distinguishes between peter chamor, that's vin neraf, and basar b'chalav. It says basar b'chalav, the inherent underlying object is ochel. That's food. People will eat it. So fine, we are restricted from eating basar b'chalav. But it doesn't change the fact that, first of all, they were both basar and chalav at one point, and that they are ochel. You'd have to be mekatzin min adat. You have to push it out of your mind to say it's not ochel. It automatically is ochel, because others can eat it, because it has shata kosher. On the other hand, when it comes to arfat chamor, when it comes to breaking the neck of the chamor and leaving it there, that is a nivlat behema tmea. Nivlat behema tmea is a little bit ma'us. And so therefore, the default status is that it's not ochel. Unless one specifically has in mind that they're going to eat it, its default status is that it's not ochel. So that's what the Gemara says here. The difference between basar b'chalav and peter chamor is exactly that. That braita is talking about items in their default status. It's talking about items where you haven't had any makshava on them, and what is the default status of that item? When it comes to basar b'chalav, the default status is that it's ochel. Therefore, it's mekabel tumat ochlim. On the other hand, peter chamor, after it's ne'araf, it's mutar b'hana'ah. You could use it. But the default status of this item is that it's not ochel. You would have to have specific makshava to use it as ochel in order to turn it into ochel, and then be mekabel tumat ochlim. So Gemara says, ein ochanami, that the braita is not a proof to Rabo, because peter chamor is also mutar b'hana'ah after it's been ne'araf. So why then does Rabbi Shimon not put in his list of exceptions like basar b'chalav? Because it's different than basar b'chalav. Basar, we're talking about that right to cases where the object's there, and we want to know what its status is. So basar b'chalav, when the object is there, the stam, the default is that it's ochel. Therefore, it'll be mekabel tumat ochlim. On the other hand, the default status of this peter chamor that's been ne'araf is not ochel. And it will not be mekabel tumat ochlim unless you have a makshava, and that's why it's not as an exception list. Had he specifically had in mind to eat it or give it to someone else, then it would have a status of tumat ochlim. It would be mekabel tumat ochlim. But the braita is just not talking about that case. That's why Rabbi Shimon does not include it in his exception list, even though it's mutar b'hana'a. So then the Gemara asks, okay, so v'tam amai mitamei rabbanon. Why are then the rabbanon mitamei this object? Meaning, if there's no makshava over here, even the rabbanon agree that it is a nevela and that it's nevilat be'mat me'a, which is somewhat ma'us. Why do the Rabbanan then believe that it is ochel over here? Why are they believing that these items that have yisurei hana, that can't be consumed by people, no machshava over here, so why is it that it's considered ochel? Right, that Rashi asked, we spoke about this on yesterday's, we saw it back in Chulin when we did an order rotev, which is that by the fruits and the vegetables, that's obvious, there is no tumat nevela. By the animals, there is Tumat Nevela, but there are points in time when it has yet to reach a Nevela, so that's a Nevela, and can have Tumat Ochlim in that interim stage, while it's still flopping around before it's actually dead. So there it can have Tumat Ochlim without Tumat Nevela. Or the other option is when you have less than a Kazayit. Less than a Kazayit Basar does not have Tumat Nevela on it, but that less than a Kazayit Basar can be Mitzdareif to another object to make up a kabeitza of ochlin that can be mekabel tuma. I mean, according to Rashi, we'll see today. Rashi's shita is that it needs that for the mekabel tuma. On the other hand, of course, more shonim, it's a mashu to be mekabel tuma to convey tuma. You need a kabeitza, so it can be mitzdareif. Less than a kazayit of this animal can be mitzdareif for something else to convey tuma through a kabeitza. There are times when even with tumat nevela, you can still have tumat ochlin be relevant. That's what the Gemara and Chulin discussed. So that's the same thing that is true over here. But the Rabbanon, in this Braita, that say it is Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, with all these Yisurei Ana, how does it work? Here we're telling you there's no Machshava. He has no Machshava on it. So why is it that they have a Din of Tumat Ochlim? So Rabbanon, Kameder of Sheshet, Ho, Visuro, Chishuvo. It's Yisur gives it Chashivut. What does that mean? As Rashi says here, Kevin the Asarle, since the Torah made it Asur, Michlal de Ra'ui La'achila. That means that it's ra'oi la'achila for someone else. It's not the isur is the reason it has a din of ochel. It's rather, the isur is a siman. It's an identifying mark that if a Torah has to tell you don't eat it, that means that somebody would have eaten it. That means it is ochel for someone. The fact that the Torah tells you don't eat it is an indication of the fact that this is ochel. And that's what it means, according to Rashi, isuro chashuvo. That it turns in and gives it a status, or in our eyes, we understand now, that it has a din of ochel. It says, the Rabbanan, mi amar ho v'isuro chashuvo, the Rabbanan really subscribe to this principle of Atanan. We have a Mishnah in Tarot, we've seen this Mishnah numerous times. Shlosha asar dorim amru minivlat of tahor. The 13 things that we say about the nevela of an of tahor. V'zu achat me'en, and this is one of them. Tzricha machshava. You have to have active machshava in order to eat it. Ve'ena tzricha echsher. It does not require echsher. So now again here, what's the default status of an nevlat of tahor? The nevela of an of tahor, the default status is that people will not eat it. The default status is not ochel. So unless you have active machshava to say I will eat it or someone will eat it, it doesn't have a din of ochel. So to mikabel, to matochlim, you have to actively think that one will eat it or someone will eat it. The default is not to eat it. Number two is, ena tzricha yachshir. It does not require yachshir. This we spent a lot of time with on Chulin and Menachot and other places as well. That is because sofo letamei tumach hamura. In the end, if you do eat it, and you swallow it, you will have tumach hamura, which is that we metamei the adam, as well as his bigadin. So since sofo letamei tumach hamura, we said over there that you don't need hechshir. Hechshir is only lizraim. Things that will not in the end have tumach hamura. Something in the end that will end up with tumach hamura does not require hechsher. For instance, nevela does not require hechsher. Nevela tov tahor does not require hechsher because in the end they will be mitameh tumach hamura. So that's what this Mishnah in Tarot says. Tzricha machshava ve'en tzricha hechsher. Now, the Gemara asks, I isuro chishuvo, if the isur achila is an indication that this is ochel, then lamali machshava. Why does he have to have an active machshava about this item? The fact that the Torah answered it in achila is an indication that it is ochel. It says, Hamani Rabbi Shimon, the author of that Mishnah and Tarot is Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that principle. This is the principle of the Rabbanan and the Braita that argue on Rabbi Shimon. That Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon, and therefore you can't ask a question on the Rabbanan's Shita from there. Tashma. So let's look at the next part of it. Nevelat behemat me'ah. When it comes to the nevela of a behemat me'ah, non-kosher animal, b'chol makom, in every place, it requires machshava. V'nevelat of tohor, v'achelev. Now both Rashi and Tosafot take out the girsa of chelev here. They say it doesn't appear in the Mishnah, and it doesn't belong over here. So I'm mentioning it, but it doesn't really belong here. Bakfarim, if you are in the villages, tzrichim machshava, then you need active machshava to make these items into ochel, vein and tzrichim echsher, and they do not require echsher. So again, let's go through piece by piece. Behemat me'ah, non-kosher animals, then end up as a nevela, Rashi calls them shehim me'usim. They are disgusting. Nobody eats those items. Nobody touches them, and therefore, if to make it into ochel, b'chol makom, no matter where you are, whether you're in the city, in the village, no matter where you're found, you have to have active machshava in order to turn it into ochel. That's the first din that's mentioned here in the Mishnah. The chelev, again, is not going to play because, as Rashi points out, that the chelev is not relevant. It doesn't matter if the animal is in vela, it doesn't matter if the animal is not in vela. the chelev doesn't have a status of ochel, it's not matumah, so it doesn't fit into this Mishnah, and that's why Rashi takes it out. Second din is, nevelat oftor, that's what we just discussed in the previous part of the Mishnah, that when it comes to nevelat oftor, bakfarim, if you're in the villages, tzrichim makshava, then you need active makshava, vein and tzrichim ekshah, you don't need ekshah like we mentioned before, because sofo latameh tumah chamura. Why do you need makshava here? We had the Mishnah before that says that you have to have makshava, here it's limiting it to the kfarim. So we again saw this in Chulin, that we distinguish between the kfarim and the big cities. In the kfarim, Rashi in Chulin brought it as two separate reasons. Over here he mishes them together, makes them into one reason, which is that in the shvakim, in the krachim, in the big cities, yesh ba robam, there are tons of people, ve'ashirim heim, and they're also wealthy. Two things that are described here. One is that the people in the kfarim, number one, are very few people. So they don't need significant amounts of meat to consume. Therefore, if they have a choice, they're not going to eat the nivlat of tahor. They're just not going to consume it because they could eat things that are more appetizing than that, and therefore they will not have to use it. That's why you need makshav in the kfarim. That's number one. Number two is that they're aniim heim. They are poor, and they don't usually eat ofot and shuman. They don't usually eat birds and fats. That's if the chilev is included in the Mishnah. They don't usually eat these things because they are poor. So again, in Chulin, Rashi separated those reasons and said that one is that they're poor, and number two is that they don't have a lot of eaters there. Over here, he combines them together, that they're poor and they don't have lots of eaters there, therefore, birds are not in the default status of ochel in the kfarim, in the villages, because they wouldn't consume them. They wouldn't eat those types of things, unless you actively think about it. So again, here, we have a situation in which, whether it's behemat me'ah, or in the vlat of tahor, in the kfarim, that you need active makshava to turn it into something that has a din of ochel. Why? Why don't we say again, V'yamart, Isuroch Kishuvo, Lama Le'imakshovo. If you think the Isur grants it a status of Ochel, because the fact that it says don't eat it, grants it, it says that it must be Ochel, why do I need the act of Makshovo? So again, the Gemara says, Amani, Rabbi Shimon, Shimon must be the author of that Mishnah as well. The Gemara says, Tashma. Let's move on to the next one. Nivlat Behima Torah. The nevela of a kosher animal, Bechol Makom, ונבלת עוף טהור והחלב בשווקים אינן צריכים מחשבה. Now, if you're talking about a kosher animal that is in a nevela, no matter where, whether it's in the villages or in the cities, doesn't require machshava, it's automatically ochel. So Rashi says, why is that? Because it's tama achilat ovid kochavim, it's not me'isa. It's not disgusting. Now it's interesting, Tosafot asks the question, Rashi himself gives a second reason for both of these, but Tosafot asks the obvious question is, why is it that a nevela of a non-kosher animal is disgusting, and a nevela of a kosher animal seems to be fine? Tosafot says right over here, for the ochle chazir, someone who eats a chazir, why wouldn't he eat a carcass of a chazir as much as he'd eat the carcass of a cow? Why is the carcass of a cow more appealing than the carcass of a chazir? So he says, I don't understand, he might even prefer it. When he's given the choice between pork and lamb chops, he might take pork. Meaning that when you have the dead animal there. So Tosa says, I'm not sure I understand this distinction that Rashi draws over here, which is that a behemat me'ah, that is a nevela, is disgusting, nobody eats it, whereas a behemat Torah is considered to be okay and people would eat it. So then he goes to the secondary differentiation that Rashi makes, which is that when it comes to the behemat me'ah, it's two steps removed from the Israel. It's two steps removed from the Israel because it's both a nevela and a non-kosher animal. That means that even if it wasn't a nevela, the Jew couldn't eat it because it's a non-kosher animal. So since it has two Israel, it's two steps removed from the Israel, therefore it's outside his realm of machshava. On the other hand, the kosher animal is only one step removed from his being able to eat it. True, it's a nevela now, so nevela takes him one step away. But had it not been a nevela, and they shechted it, he would have been able to eat it. So the fact that it's only one step away makes it more likely to be classified or considered an ochel by the Jew than being two steps away, which is a non-kosher nevela. So it's more of a halachic distinction in whether it's considered to be outside or inside the realm because of their connection to these animals. How close do you feel to the ability to eat this animal? So that's the way Tosafot describes it. Rashi also brings that after he mentions the issue of ma'us, he means that at all. He says, "Oh, yesh shnei dichuyin by the behemat me'ah," and over here by the behemat Torah, he says only one dichuy. There's only one thing that pushes you away. So based on that, now we have a Mishnah that says, when it comes to the behemat Torah, the nevelov and the behemat Torah, b'chol makom, no matter where you are, it has a default classification as ochel. Number two, Nivlat of tohor, and now chaleb as well, fats, bashvakim. Now we're talking about in the cities, in the places where they have heavy traffic, heavy populations, and rich people. So over there, they don't need a makshava. They don't need a makshava because in the cities they are rich, and therefore they eat ofot, they eat fats. And in addition to that, they also will have a lot of eaters, they'll have a lot of consumers of food, and they'll need any piece of meat they can find out there. There'll be others that need it. Therefore, the nivalat of tahor's default status in the city is that you don't need makshava. It is ochel, automatically. Just to note here, when Rashi talks about chelev, we classically think of chelev as being the fats that are asur. Rashi, when he keeps saying the word chelev here, says shuman, fat, which is even the mutar fats. It's not just talking about the asur fats, it's even talking about the mutar fats. They don't need makshava, below hechsher, they don't require hechsher. Again, an avela doesn't require hechsher, and neither does an avela of tor, because they're sofa l'tameh to machamura. Based on that, the Gemara says, ha-tameah, you can infer from this statement in the Mishnah, that a nivlat behemah tameah would require makshava. Well, why was it required makshava? V'chite mahamani. So now what are you going to answer again? This is Rabbi Shimoni. It's authored Rabbi Shimon. Because, again, if you would infer from this that a behema tamea, that was a nevela, would require a makshava, why don't you say, usuro chishuvo? So you're going to answer me like you did for the previous two Mishnayot and say it's authored by Rabbi Shimon. That's problematic. How many to say for Rabbi Shimon? Avi, if the latter half of this Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, Avi, Reshalav, Rabbi Shimon. If the seifa of this Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, then the Resha cannot be Rabbi Shimon. Diktani seifa. The latter half of that Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afa Gamal, Bar Nevet, Vashafan, Vachazir, Inam Tzrichim, Lo Makshava, Lo Hechsher. He includes in the list of items of the Velot that do not require a Makshava, he includes in all these animals, the Gamal, Nevet, Shafan, Chazir, they should be familiar to you because those are the non-kosher animals that are listed in the Torah that have one of the Simanei Tahara. They have one of the two Simanei Torah. In order to be a kosher animal, you need to chew its cud, plus they have split hooves. The Gamal, Arnevet, and Shafan all chew their cud, but do not have split hooves. The Chazir has split hooves, but does not chew its cud. So these are animals that have one Siman Torah. Einam Sirchim Lo Makshav Lo Aksher, and they don't need it. Why? Vam Rabbi Shimon Matam. What's the reason for this? It's actually not found in the Mishnah, but it's probably an extension from a Braita. Ho, b'yesh b'em siman tara, or simanei tara. The fact that they have one siman tara brings them closer to the Jew, and since they bring them closer to the Jew, he will have makshav on them for ochel, versus something that's completely be'imah, t'me'ah. So even though technically these are non-kosher animals, and they are two steps removed from the Jew, the fact that these animals have one siman tara brings it back closer to the Jew, and therefore he will not need an act of makshav to make them into ochel. But what do you see from that? You see that the latter half of the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon. That means that the Reisha could not be authored by Rabbi Shimon. The Reisha could not be authored by Rabbi Shimon. How do you explain the Reisha? The Reisha says, by Nevelat, Nivlat Behemat Torah, as well as Nivlat of Tahor in the cities, they don't need Makshava. The implications from that are that if they were not in the cities, or they were in Nivlat Behemat Me'ah, that they would require Makshava. Why don't we say Yisru Kishuvo? How come that principle dropped away over here? So El Amarova, you must have to say here, Dekuli Amar Lo Amrinan Isro Chishuvo. You cannot say that. That principle does not apply, and that cannot be the explanation for the Rabbonon in our Mishnah. And once you've done that, what is the machlok between them? How do you explain the machlok between them? Because now we would be moving back to suggest that the Braita that we brought before, the Machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, regards to Isurei Hana, is talking about a Mishnah that where he was Makshivit to be an Ochel. If he's makshivit to be an ochel, then our question goes back to its original status, which is, why would Rabbi Shimon put in the exceptions of basar b'chalav? Why didn't he also put in the exception of petar chamor? Because now you're being makshivit actively to be ochel. In that case, even petar chamor would be usable as ochel. If that's the case, then that braita goes back to being a proof for Rava's statement, that it must be that Rabbi Shimon thinks that petar chamor is mutar ba'na'a. So Rava says no. That I say, Kule Alma, Yisro is not Chishuvo, but still explain that Braita in a case without Makshava. Explain the Braita without Makshava, and therefore won't be approved to Rabbah. How do you do that? Vide Arfe mi Aref Alkanami. Had he chopped in the back of the neck off of this Petar Chamor, in Alkanami, that you would be in such a circumstance, that's why the Rabbana would say that it's, even the Rabbana would agree in that case, that it's Asur Ba'ana'ah. Because it wasn't Makshivit. It's not automatically ochel. Therefore, it would not be tamei tumat ochlim, even according to the Rabbanan, if you did arifat hachamor. But this case, hachamai skinan, what did he do with this chamor? Kagon shech shachato lihitlamei bo. He shechted it. He's practicing his shkita. So he shechted the petar chamor as a test case for his Shchita. Rukta de Nimus ve Rabbi Elazar. It's machlokus between Nimus and Rabbi Elazar, the gabei shchita that is done lehit lamed, that is done for practicing. The Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Sachli Nimus Achim Shel, Rabbi Yossi Agarsi. I was told by Nimus, the brother of Rabbi Yoshua Garsi, or Yeshua Garsi, Sheshuchet et Orev, someone who shechs a raven, Lehit Lamed Bo, in order to learn how to do Shechita. A raven is a non-kosher bird. It's one of those that are listed in the Torah. So here, the Shechita on the Orev, Lehit Lamed Bo, in order to learn, Damo Machshir. The dam that comes out of it is Machshir. Rav Elazar Omer, Dam Hashchita, Le'olam Machshir. But it says, Dam Hashchita is always Machshir. So it says, Rav Elazar, Hainu Tana Kama. What's the difference between Rav Elazar and the Tana Kama? El Alav, Isuro, Chishuvo, Ika Beinayu. Exactly what we're talking about here. This idea that Isur is Machshivit. Tana Kama Sabar, the Tana Kama believes, Damo Machshir La'alma. The Dam of this raven is Machshir other items outside of the bird. But the bird itself, the raven itself, the default status is that it's a nivlat of tamei. Nivlat of tamei, its default status will not be ochel. And therefore, unless you have active machshava over here, it does not have a classification ochel. So even though the blood would be machshirit, it's just not ochel yet to be nichshar. To other things besides the raven itself. Things that are ochel. If it goes flying onto Zra'im, Rashi says, it goes onto foods that are out there that need to be mukshar the kabel tumah, other things besides the raven itself. That blood will be makshirit. Rav Elazar comes along and says, no, even the raven itself is nechshar al yidei, the dam of the shkita here. Well, that must mean that they both agree that we're talking about here, this item is going to be a nivlat of tameh. Because shechita doesn't help non-kosher birds. So the bird is going to be in a vilat of tamei. So why is it that it's considered ochel? Everybody would agree that it's two steps removed from Israel. It's ma'us. So nobody would technically eat it. So why is it over here that it has a din of ochel? Yisro chishuvo. Because it's asur to eat it, that's what gives it chashivut, and that's be their machloket. The Tana Kama believes that I don't subscribe to this din of yisro chishuvo. And therefore, it's only makshir items outside of the bird. Whereas Rabbi Elazar does subscribe to that principle of isu el chashivo. And therefore, I tell you, Rabbi Elazar, the Meimar, dam shkita di ola makshir, va'afilu lugufei na'ame lo boi makshava. Even for the raven itself, you do not need makshava. Because it's isuro chishuvo. Now Rashi points out over here, everybody would agree, im shachato shkita gimura, if he did a full-fledged shkita, that damo makshir afilu lugufei, even for its goof to shchita to havi machshavato. The fact that he did a proper shchita on it is indicative of the fact that he plans on eating it. So that would be automatic. Everybody would agree. Here the problem is he's doing shchita lehit lamed bo. It's not a real shchita. It's a shchita where he's practicing. So there he needs, according to the Tana Kama, active machshava. That's not enough of a machshava to make it into ochel. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says the fact that you are interacting with is something that has an Isur Achila on it, that Isur Achila gives it a status of Ochel. Now, on the other hand, Inacharo, if you chopped its head off, you didn't do Shkita at all, Velo Shachato, Tulo Havi Polik Rabbi Elazar. And she says again, Rabbi Elazar would agree, Devade La'almahu Makshir, Vedao Gufei. Even Rabbi Elazar would agree then, that the Guf of the bird is not Mitameh, even though it's Isuro Chishuvo, Diu Gufa Lo Mekabel Tuma, Velo Makshava. Because it itself is not mekabel tumah, and nivlat of tamei doesn't have any status of tumah. It has no status of tumah, and therefore, unless you have a makshava on it, it won't even be mekabel tumah. Forget about anything else. So therefore, Rashi says that it's a unique case here. This middle case where you do shchita in order to learn. Had you done full-fledged shchita, everybody would agree that it's considered ochel. Had you done anything but shchita, everybody would agree that it's not ochel. The question is, when you do the shchita l'itlamed bo, does that do anything for you? So according to the Tanakh, it does nothing, and it still needs makshav the more to make it ochel. But Elazar says, no, that the shchita l'itlamed bo is makshiv the basar, because it's yisro chishuvo, and therefore it is mekabel tumah from here on in, because of the blood that went on the orev. So Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim will be arguing about this fact. Rabbanan will hold like Rabbi Elazar, that there is yisro chishuvo. Rabbi Shimon will hold like Nimus that there is an Isuro Chushivo, but here we're not functioning with Isuro Chushivo, but rather Shchita Litlamed. The Shechita Lehitameid, what is the status of the Shechita Lehitameid? So we've given up on Yisrael Cheshivot, because that's what Rava said. Rava says, the Kuleyama, lo amrin on Yisrael Cheshivot. So what is Machshiv over here? The Shechita. Shechita can be Machshiv. That's what Rashi said. Everybody agrees if you did a full-fledged Shechita, that's Machshiv to Ochel. Everybody agrees if you did Nechira, that's not Ochel. Question is, what is Shechita Lehitameid bo? Shechita Lehitameid bo just practice Shechita, and does not give any status of Ochel to the item. Or the Shechita over here, Litameidbo, also like regular Shechita, and it gives it a status of Ochel.
And the term Yisrael Chishuvo here means the Shechita Litameid, which is Asur Ba'achila, can it be Machshiv? It's not identical to the same term Yisrael Chishuvo that we used before. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains this piece of the Gemara, separating between the Yisrael Chishuvo and the Shechita Litameid. There are others that try to combine the two and say together, even though Yisrael Chishuvo by itself is not enough, but maybe together with Shechita Lehitameid, the two of them together can make up and create this Machshiv over here, and still not be a steerer to that which Rava said before.
Therefore, if you go back to the Braita that we're talking about, like Petar Chamor, where Rabbi Shimon al-Chachim argue, he took the Petar Chamor, and he shechted it Lehitameid bo. That's what he did. He did Shechita for Limud on his Petar Chamor. Rabbi Shimon says, I hold like the Tana Kamo. And the Tana Kama says that Shechita Lehitameid bo does not machshiv it as ochel. So it's not machshiv it as ochel. I say that it's not ochel here. It's not ochel. It's not mekabe tumat ochlim. The Rabbanan subscribe to Rabbi Lozer's opinion, and Rabbi Lozer says here, when you do Shechita for practice to be taught on, that's enough to be machshiv it ochel. So this Petar Chamor has a din of ochel because you did Shechita, even though it was practice Shechita. Since you did Shechita on it, that's enough to make it into status of ochel. It's ochel mekabe tumat ochlim. That machloket and that braita will be explained by this practice shechita. Now Tosfot does take issue with Rashi based on something that we learned in Chulin. If you remember, dam in general is not classified as being a machshir to mikabel tuma unless it's dam chalalim. So dam shechita normally would not be considered to be a blood to be machshir lekabel tuma. It's only because that the pasuk says dam k'minishpach k'demayim, that you can throw off. When it's not kochim, the dam can be thrown on the ground like water. So since over there, dam shkita is compared to water, therefore it has the status of being makshir lekabel tuma. But that's not true of stam blood. And Rashi over here just said that if you do nechira on these birds, you just kill them without any shkita, the blood, everybody agrees that the blood would not be makshir but itself, but it would be makshir other things. Tosafot says, what do you mean makshir other things? That dam is not dam of a liquid that can be makshir lekabel tuma. That's not dam shkita. And it's not dam chalalim. It doesn't qualify as either. Dam chalalim only applies to human beings. Dam shechita is only if you do shechita. Over here, you didn't either of those. So the dam shouldn't be makshir whatsoever. So Rabbi Tosafot disagrees at that point in Rashi that if you did nechira, that would be makshir at all. Rashi says everybody agrees it would be makshir other things, not the bird. But Tosafot says it won't be makshir whatsoever because it's not a liquid that can be makshir the kabel tuma. So now we've explained the machloket back in the bright according to Rabbo, which will not be a proof to Rabbo. Because the machloket in that braita is about practice shechita. And that's why Rabbi Shimon left out Petar Chamor, not because he believes that it's a sur b'hanah, but because he did it in a way that was considered a shechita litameid bo. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Mimai, how do you know that's what their machloket is about? Dilma, time the Rabbi Lozer hotam the shiny orev, hovi yesh bo simanei tara. Maybe the reason the orev is within the realm of machshava is because it has simanei tara. If you remember in Chulin, in Elu Trefot, we had the list of the 24 birds, and there's only one bird that has all the simanei tuma of a bird. Bird requires four things for simanei tara: etzba yitera, zefek, kurban kaban niklaf, and eno dores. Those are the four things. Whether eno dores is a siman or is a siba, the other items are connected to how they're connected to it. But they were a list of all the birds that they had a siman tara. So maybe over here, the reason Rabbi Lazar says it works over here is because it has a siman tara. We saw that sheet in Rabbi Shimon before. That the gamal, the arnevet, the shafan, the chazir, are ochlim because they have a siman tara. So maybe Rabbi Lazar over here says when you do practice shkita on these items, they are considered to be ochlim because these items have some sort of simanei tara. But the chamor, Petar Chamor, which has no simanei tara, over there he would agree with the Tana Kama that it's not ochel. So how do you know you can explain our braita based on this braita over here? This braita might be specific to orev, and it might not apply to Petar Chamor, and then you can't explain the braita. Now the Gemara does something. Umin Allah the simanei tara milto. How do you know that simanei tara mean anything? The Tani Allah, the Hai, that we saw before by Rabbi Shimon Shitam. Rabbi Shimon, Matam, what's the reason the Gamal, the Anevet, the Shafan, and the Chazir are Ochlin? Over Yeshbo Simenei Terah, because they have Simenei Terah. V'chei Teima, Imishum Simenei Terah, Ma'iria, Lihit Lameid. Why do you need to have the case in the Brayta to be a case where he's doing Shkita to practice? Afil Lihita Seik, Nami. Then even if he was just cutting something else, and he happened to cut the head of this animal off the Shkita, that should be enough, because it has Simenei Terah. That's the reason that over here it's Ochel. It's nothing to do with the fact that you did Shkita, or that it was something like Shkita. Even if you were Mitasek, which just doesn't qualify as Shkita, nevertheless, that should have still been Ochel, because of the fact that it has Simenei Terah. When it says Ein Ochanami. You're right. The case in that Braita could have been a case of Mitasek, then after a case of that he's practicing Shkita. Mishum Nimus. But the Braita brought down the case of this to prove you how far the sheet of Nimus goes. Nimus says that even Lehita Meit, Shkita Lehita Meit does not makshivit as Ochel. Not only is Mitasek not makshivit as Ochel, but even practicing Shkita is not makshivit as Ochel. So that's why the Braita used the example of Lehita Meit and not the example of Mitasek. Now, where are we now? We're back to square one, which is that we don't have a way to explain the Braita back on the bottom of Tet Amud Bet, the bride that the Rabbah brought to explain the machlok between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. Because here we tried to create cases where there was no machshava in the case. Since there is no machshava in the case, you can't prove anything about Shita to Rabbi Shimon. If you don't have machshava, you can't bring a proof to Rabbi Shimon Shita, because it might be that the machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim over there relates to another issue. The first one we said was maybe Isuro Chishuvo is the issue that they're discussing. Without a machshava, a petra chamor is not considered ochel. So therefore, maybe it's mutar ba'ana according to Rabbi Shimon. It's just not ochel because you didn't have a machshava on it. Why do the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon and say it is ochel? The first thing we tried was yisuro chishuvo. That could have done it. Second thing we tried was because it's shchita litlameid bo. One of those two items could have been machshivit to be ochel. Both times we rejected that explanation. And we rejected that explanation. We're back to square one. Square one means that bright is talking a case where he was machshiv the items. He was machshiv the items to be ochel. So according to the Chachamim, that's enough. You're machshiv them to be ochel, that's ochel, and you can be kabel to matochlim. Shimon says that's not enough. Even if you're machshiv the ochel, it's their asur ba'anah. If they're asur ba'anah, they can't attain the status of ochel, period. But what do you see from that? What was the only exception to that rule that Rabbi Shimon wrote over there? Basar b'chalav. And he didn't write petar chamor. Now here we're dealing with active machshava, where the petar chamor would be ochel, and yet Rabbi Shimon does not bring it as an exception to the rule. That means Rabbi Shimon must believe that there is a isur hanoh by petar chamor after death, and that's a proof to Rabbah. Rabbah said, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar when it's alive, but when it's dead, then it is asur v'hanoah. So that brayta will stand as a proof to Rabbah, because we don't have an alternative explanation of either isur chishuvo or shkita litameid to explain the brayta in another manner. Alright, etavei. Lo ratza liftoto. If he doesn't want to be poder the petar chamor, or for bekupitz, me'achorav, v'kovro, v'asur bana, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. If he does not want to redeem it, then you chop its head off in the back with the kupitz, and you have to bury it because it's asur bana, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rabbi Shimon, matir. Shimon says it's mutar bana. This is directly against the position of Rabbah. When it says, Ema, Ome Chaim Asur Bana, the Isur Ana that's been mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about while it's alive. After it's dead, you bury it. Vasur Bana, even when it's alive. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says, even when it's alive, it's Mutar. He's not discussing about the Heter Ana when it's dead. When it says, Vaha Midis Seifa Michaim, Habi Rachel Lab Michaim, the latter half of that Braita speaking out a case where he's alive. The animal's alive. Habi Reisha, Lav Michaim. That sounds like the Reisha is when the Petach Mor is not alive. And they're discussing whether there's a Heter Anah or not. Diktani Seifa, the latter half of the Braita says, Lo Yimitenu, should not kill the Petach Mor, Lo Bekaneh, the Lo Bemagal, not with a stick, not with a scythe, the Lo Bekardum, and not with a hoe or a pickaxe, the Lo Bemegeira, not with a saw. Velo yachnisenu lecheder v'in ol delef anav. You shouldn't put it into a room and starve it to death. Shvoshimot. Vasur v'gizah v'abudah. You're not allowed to shear it or do work with it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matir. Shimon says it's mutar. There it's clearly talking about a case where it's alive. And there's an argument about hanoh. So if that's the case, why do you need to tell me in the reisha over there that it's also discussing about hanoh while it's alive? It says no, reisha v'seifa mechayim. They're both talking about while it's alive. Reisha v'hanat damav. Seifa, banat gufo. They're dealing with different aspects of hana over here. In the sefer which I am about, Hanat Gufo, getting direct benefit from the Peter Chamor itself. That means shearing it or doing avoda with it. That is where they have a machloket. Rabbi Shimon says Mutar Bahana, and Rabbi Yehuda says Asur Bahana. In addition to that, in the Reisha, they're dealing with Hanat Damav. If you give it to someone else to use, if you rent it out, you lend it out, are you allowed to get that type of benefit from the animal? And over there, again, once again, same machloket. Rabbi Yehuda says Asur Bahana. Shimon says Mutar Bahana, and the Gemara says Vitzricha, and I need both of those aspects. Titan Hanat Damav. If you only gave me the Reisha, we're talking about Hanat Damav. Bahu Kashari Rabbi Shimon. That's where Rabbi Shimon's matir bana, but not gufo. Even he would agree. Ema modele Rabbi Yehuda. He would agree to Rabbi Yehuda as an iser ana. Vitana b'hanat gufo. If you only talked about anat gufo, that's where Rabbi Shimon's matir and Rabbi Yehuda's oser. B'haikasa Rabbi Yehuda. Only there is where Rabbi Yehuda's oser. Aval banat amav. He would agree that it's already one step removed. Ema modele Rabbi Shimon. That would be mutar bana tzricha. Therefore, I need both parts of the brayta to teach me. There's an machloket of iser ana, and mutar bana applies both to hanat gufo as well as to hanat damav. Direct benefit from the animal or secondary benefit. Benefit through using it to generate money. B'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Avuah molde Rabbi Shimon achariva shu asur. Rav Nachman amar Rav Avuah agrees with the position of Rabbah that Rabbi Shimon after arifata Petor Chamor agrees that it's asur. How can I prove to you that's a shita Rishima? The Tanya. Ve'arafto. Nemar kan arifa v'nemar lahalan. Arifa says arifa here. And it says arifa further on. Malahalan asur. Afkan asur. Just like further on, which is the case of Egla Arufa. So just like by Egla Arufa, it's considered to be asur behana. So to over here, the arifa that we're discussing over here is asur behana. So Mani, who's the author of that braita? Ilay Rabbi Yehuda. If you're talking Rabbi Yehuda, Machayim Mesa Asur. It's also behana even when it's alive. Why are you talking about after the arifa? Elalav Rabbi Shimoni. And you see that Rabbi Shimon agrees that there's an isur behana after death. Amalei Rabbi Sheshet. Safra Chavrin Tagmua. Our good friend of Safra explained the Olam Rabbi Yehuda that that braita could be Rabbi Yehuda be Yitzrich, and you need it. Sakudat Chamina Arifa b'makom p'diya omedet. You have two options of what to do with the Peter Chamor. You can either be poden onto a seh, or you can chop its head off with the kupitz. So what happens if you're poden with a seh? What happens to the Peter Chamor? It becomes totally mutar. It becomes like chulin the gamrin. So if arifa is functioning instead of p'diya, maybe you should do the same thing. Ma p'diya materet. Just like p'diya makes it totally mutar. Of arifa materet. Mashmuah, that's not the case. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us there's an Isra Ana even after death. Even though he thinks there's an Isra Ana while it's alive, he has to come and then tell us after death there's an Isra Ana because of this din that the arifa might be replacing the b'diya. So Amar Rav Nachman, mena amin alo. How can I prove to you, again, the case that Rabbi Shimon holds that after it's the arifa, that it's considered to be a surbana? Midatani Levi. It says, Levi has a principle. Hu yifsid mimonosho kain? If yikach yifsad mimono. The fact that he caused the Kohen a loss, because he's not giving him a seh in place of the Chamor, so therefore he's going to lose his money. We're going to kill his Chamor to pay him back. If he was stingy and didn't want to give the money that he would deserve to the Kohen, then he's going to lose that and we're going to kill his Chamor. Beis Din will enforce the fact that they won't kill the Chamor so that he loses out. Mani, who's this, the author of this position? Ilam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, ha-mifsad v'koi. What do you mean he's going to lose out now? He was already losing out. It was asur b'ana. The Peter Chamor is asur b'ana. So what are your choices now? You either give a set to the coin, or you leave it the way it is. You leave it the way it is, you're getting nothing anyway. Whether you chop his head off or not, it's still asur b'ana. Alav Rabbi Shimon, he must be there. They all the positions Rabbi Shimon, and that only at the point of death, at Arifa, would become asur b'ana. Yibayitem Rabbi Yehuda, yibayitem Rabbi Shimon. You know, we have different ways to explain. We can explain according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can explain according to Rabbi Shimon. Ibeit Eimar Rabbi Yehuda, Ifsida Beni Beni. He also lost him the future value of this Chamor. We discussed this yesterday with regards to Kiddushin, that this Chamor does have value. It has a value because it could be redeemed. So there is a future value to this Chamor. Because if you took a Seh, the difference in value between the Chamor and the Seh would be yours. So if somebody gave you a Peter Chamor that was yet to be redeemed, it still would have monetary value to you, because you could take a seh and keep the chamor. The seh would be worth less than the chamor. The differential in value is something that is monetarily good for you. So therefore, even though there's an isur ana while it's alive, there's still value to the object. Once you kill it, there's nothing left. It's a zero at that point, because you can't do anything with it. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, where there's an isur ana while it's alive, there's still value in the animal. Once you kill it, it has zero value. V'yibayitim Rabbi Shimon, the pchat mita. According to Rabbi Shimon, it could be according to Rabbi Shimon, and it still could be mutar ba'ana'a. It could be mutar ba'ana'a both while it's alive and while it's dead. But an animal goes down in value when it's dead. An animal life is worth more than an animal that's dead. So therefore, that's what it means will cause him a loss. Not that it'll become osur bana. The loss will be that it's now dead and not alive. And so even Rabbi Shimon holds that it's mutar bana in both cases, you can't prove anything from this, that he holds that there's an isur bana. Chenam Rabbi Ish Lakish, Ish Lakish also says the same thing that Rabba and Rabbi Nachman said, that Moda Rabbi Shimon Acharifashu Asur, V'Rabbi Yochanan. V'Yochanan says, V'Yitema Rabbi Lazar Amar Adayin Hi Machloket. They disagree with Rabbi Nachman, Rabba, and Ish Lakish, and say that there is still a Machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda even after death, even after Arifat Betar Hamor. It's Machloket about whether it's Mutar Bana or Sur Bana. Ikidamat Lehad Ha Rav Nachman Aha. Some say this din of Rav Nachman on this item. Hamakadesh V'Petar Hamor Eina Mikudeshet. Someone who presents kiddushim with a petar chamor, it does not a good kiddushim. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon, because over here you're trying to create kiddushim through a petar chamor, and it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because it's asur bahana. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutar bahana. So you have to suggest here that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Bua, v'achar arifa, v'divrei akol. It's after the arifata chamor. And that's what Rav Nachman said before. And that's on with the statement where Rav Nachman made a statement. It's according to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon agrees that after Arifat Petach Hamor, it's Asur Bana, and even Rabbi Shimon could be the author of that Mishnah. Ikad Amrei, Hamani, who's the author of this Mishnah in Kiddushin? Lo Rabbi Huda, velo Rabbi Shimon. I Rabbi Shimon, Tikadesh Bikulei. According to Rabbi Shimon, he should be able to even Mikadesh with the whole Petach Hamor. What's the question here? What do you mean, in a Mikudeshet? Of course you can be mitkadesh with it, it's mutar bana. V Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's asur bana, kidesh behach the beni beni. We just explained before that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's asur bana, there's still value to the animal because of the ability to be podet. So while it's alive, there is value to it. And we saw this saying yesterday's that you could be mitkadesh and isha with a petar chamor, even though it's asur bana, because of this future value that you could create in the animal, the differential between the value of the chamor and the seh. So Rabbi Yehuda would agree you could be Mekadesh. So who's the author of that Mishnah? So it's neither of them could be the author of Mishnah. So Amar Rabba Barvua Amar Rav the Olam Rabbi Yehuda. It is author by Rabbi Yehuda. Gon she'enu shaveh al shekel. It's a chamor that's only worth a shekel. B'savar like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And he holds like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya tifdeh, tifdeh. So twice it's written the word tifdeh by Petar Chamor. Petar Chamor tifdeh b'seh. Once in Parshat Bo. And once in Parshat Kitisa. It says Petar Chamor tifdeh b'seh. Tifdeh miyad. And tifteh koshuhu. Now, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that tifteh means you do it immediately. And number two is that you can do it at any amount. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in p'tia p'chuta mishekel. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says the minimum amount has to be a shekel. The more has to be a shekel, worth a shekel in order to redeem it.
And therefore, if the minimum amount that you need to do for a p'diyah is a shekel, and the chamor is only worth a shekel, there's no differential in value between the chamor and the seh, and you can't have kesef kiddushim through that, because there is no differential in value because of this minimum standard of the seh that you have to exchange for the chamor, and the chamor is only worth a shekel.
Samamar, tifteh, tifteh, tifteh miyah, tifteh koshu, pshita. Of course you have to do that. What's the question over here? Itzrich, zachadat kamin hovit kashli b'chor adam. Since b'chor b'imat meyah has a hekesh to b'chor adam, both in Pashat Kitisa as well as in Pashat Korach, ma b'chor adam achar shloshim yom. First of all, b'chor adam is only nifdeit after 30 days. And the minimum amount, or the amount that you have to do the pidyon with is chamesh slaim, has to be 5 shekel. Hanami, so too over here, you would say the same thing about Petar Chamor, that it has to be achar shloshim v'chamesh, it has to be after 30 days and 5 shekelim. Malan, that's what the Braita teaches us. Tivdeh miyat. Petach Hamor is not restricted to 30 days. You can redeem it right away. And tivdeh kosho. And then you can any amount. It doesn't have to be the chamesh loim of the bechor. Any amount you can be podeh the Petach Hamor with. Rabbi Yosef Yudomer in p'diyah p'chudah mishekel. Where does he get this from? Imanoshach. If you connect to the bechor adam, if you connect to the bechor adam, you should have chamesh loim, chamesh shekel. Libay. If you lo mekish, shekel manole. Where does he come up with the shekel? He doesn't do it. Amar Rav, Amar Kra, but he learns it out of the pasuk. Behold, erkacha yeh b'shekel hakodesh. The pashtut of the pasuk is that any erachim have to be paid with money that is shekel hakodesh. Kol erachim she'ata marich lo yeh b'chutim mishekel. Any assessments you do in kodesh have to have a minimum of a shekel. That's the way he darshan the pasuk. Rabbanan who disagreed, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, how do they explain that pasuk? How beheseg yad k'tiv? That's talking about where you don't have enough money to pay the erachin. When you have the erachin are specific amounts that you have to give based on what you said of the value of this person I'm going to give to the Mikdash. The Torah has a schedule of your payments. What happens if you don't have enough money to pay it? You go to the Kohen and he assesses your economic status and he tells you how much you have to pay. But that has to be a minimum of a shekel. In order to do that or get that out, you have to have a minimum of a shekel to be given. And Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha kedivrei Chachamim. The halacha is like the Chachamim over here, that you can podet even to the smallest amount. And what is that? Rekam Amar Rav Yosef Afila Pratuza Bardanko. Even something that's
a very weak seh, that's only worth a
danko, which is like 1/6 of a ma'ah. It's a tiny amount of money. Even that amount can redeem the donkey
with it.
Amar Rav Afanan Tana Mitanina Gadol Katan. Our Mishnah says, whether it's big or small, so pshita, that's a pshita. Madutemi the kulei lo. Katan doesn't mean all the way down to this. Such a small coin, so such a small amount that you wouldn't. Kamash malan, that even at that small amount, you still are poded the pet chamor. Inami padruza lo, or maybe padruza
a very weak seh, and with that you want to redeem it.
Katan doesn't mean all the way down to this. So such a small amount. Kamash malan, that even
with it,
you still are poded the pet chamor. We'll stop over here.